Hello and welcome to the Mad Hatter Cast. We have a very special episode, single episode. My name is Matt. It's just me tonight, or today, or this morning, whatever you're listening to it. I just wanted to set out a special episode because we got the Snyder Cut. Zack Snyder's Justice League was released on March 18th. This is a big deal for the internet community and for the DCEU. As you, most of you know, if you're listening to this episode, you probably want to know what's going on with this movie. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a review, my thoughts, and what I'm hopeful for going forward in this crazy Snyderverse talks that are happening. So a little bit of history first. Back in 2017, we got a Justice League movie released. It was supposed to be Zack Snyder directed and everything. It was written by Chris Terrio, Zack Snyder, and some things happened. So, tragically, Zack Snyder's daughter took her own life. It's a very sad situation, but it's one of those things where you got to make a decision, and I think that's what happened. There was a lot of rumors going around that Zack Snyder was out with, had outs with Warner Brothers and everything. There was a lot of contention going on, but I think we got a better picture painted. So it was probably due to mainly his daughter committing suicide and him having to deal with that. But also there was some Warner Brother meddling, as we saw with Suicide Squad, Batman vs. Superman. So we got a Batman vs. Superman movie where a lot of stuff was cut from it, a lot of stuff was changed, and then finally we got an Ultimate Edition, which was about three hours and change, which gave a lot more context. So how this was all planned with Zack Snyder was that we were going to get this Snyderverse, which is kind of a weird term when you throw it out there, but it all started with Man of Steel. Back in 2012 or 2013, I believe. I could be wrong. But that kind of gave us our first look, and it was a very different Superman. More grounded as Superman can be grounded as being a Kryptonian. It gave us more of a kind of realistic outlook on Superman. That movie divided critics and fans throughout because at the end of it, Superman kills Zod. Spoiler alert, this is going to be a very spoiler-heavy episode, so if you're not into that, that's fine. This is your chance to get out. If you haven't seen Man of Steel yet, jump on the bandwagon. So, like I said, spoilers all around for this episode. So, Zack Snyder, like I said, came out with Man of Steel, and then that followed with news of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, which introduced Ben Affleck as Batman, which was also another very critical thing. Just like Heath Ledger when he got announced, there was some contention amongst fans being like, why would you do that with Heath Ledger? And then we all know how that turned out. So let's start there. The first Henry Cavill as Superman is fantastic. I think in general, he's a really good Superman. Superman is not my favorite superhero at all, but Cavill does a fantastic job playing Clark Kent and Superman. Now, Ben Affleck plays a better Bruce Wayne than a Batman, but he's still a pretty good Batman. So it's interesting how this all played out. So when we got the news, probably, I want to say like early 2016, we got the news that Zack Snyder was stepping out of Justice League. Now, this is after Man of Steel. This is after Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. We were going to finally get a big screen release of a Justice League. And we knew from rumors that it was going to be, God, I don't know, it was going to be Batman, Aquaman, Flash, Wonder Woman, Superman, and then I remember some of the marketing said Unite the Seven, so there was always going to be talks of a seventh member of the Justice League. I'll bet either Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter, Green Arrow. There was a ton of names being thrown around, but there was never really any kind of follow-up with that. It was really just, hey, they're Unite the Seven, and then it showed a really cool picture of all the heroes on there. So the internet does crazy things sometimes. We have news that Zack Snyder's stepping down, and then we get news of the dreaded Joss Whedon coming in, and Geoff Johns coming in. And so what had happened was Zack Snyder made a 4-hour movie. 99% of this was shot. And it's funny to me because you gotta look at it as a fan's eyes, and then you have to look at it as a director's eyes if you can. Like, I'm not a director, but I'm trying to look at it through their eyes. You have somebody who's Zack Snyder, who's kind of a critically divisive director. Like, we had Watchmen, you had these Batman movies. There's a, like, every movie that he's made superhero wise has been very critically divisive. People have either loved it or hated it. There's nobody that's like, yeah, it's just good, like, it's not a bad movie. But then when that happened, I'm trying to remember the exact date, but I remember getting the notification that Zack Snyder was stepping down from Justice League, and we all thought, oh yeah, we've heard rumors of, yeah, he's having fights with Warner Brothers because they want to change his vision, they want to do this, they want to do that. And then eventually, it was after the while, we saw that it was due to his daughter's tragic suicide. So they brought in Joss Whedon, and he took Snyder's 4-hour movie, turned it into a 2-hour movie, and then, short of director hubris, I don't know what he was thinking. So Henry Cavill at the time was filming Mission Impossible, so he had a mustache, right? This is the famous, I have the famous meme out there where it's the worst CGI job I've ever seen in my entire life. And you have Henry Cavill on screen. So, like, I want to do a little bit of a shot-for-shot breakdown, but I want to get through some of the history first. So, first, there was, people saw the 2017 Justice League, and oh my god, it was a train wreck. I remember going to see it in November of 2017, and I was super excited because, I mean, even if it's trash, because Joss Whedon's attached to it, it's a Justice League movie. We get to see the DC Trinity and big superheroes in it. So it was terrible. Let's just say that it was absolutely horrible. We had terrible CGI, a mismanaged plot, a horribly paced movie that felt like it could have been a 30-minute episode of Arrow on the CW. Like, it was just not a good movie. It was not a good movie. And at this point, they were filming Justice League. They finished filming Justice League. They announced a sequel before Zack Snyder bounced out, and that sequel was going to be in 2019. So the movie came out, and everybody was like, oh my god, this movie is absolutely terrible. It's the worst superhero movie next to Green Lantern, which I don't think anything's going to beat Green Lantern, as much as I love Ryan Reynolds and I love that, but it was a terrible movie. They brought in Joss Whedon. He reshot like 90% of the movie. So when you look at the Snyder Cut, the 4-hour long movie, and you look at the 2017 Justice League, there's 2 hours of that Justice League, and there's 4 hours of this movie. In Snyder's movie, the Zack Snyder's Justice League, or the Snyder Cut as it was called on the internet for so long, I laugh because it's just so bad. So you have 4 hours of movie, and about 45 minutes of that 4 hours of movie was used in the 2017 movie, and then it was another hour and 15 minutes of terribly made plot holes. Like, the villain was terrible. The CGI was terrible. It was just, it was an abomination of what Zack Snyder set out to do. Now, by no means is Zack Snyder a perfect director. I don't think they should give him the keys to the kingdom at all, because when you look at these movies and you look at what Zack Snyder did with the DCEU, there was obviously a bigger plan. That plan didn't phase out exactly how they wanted. And then you had Marvel at its height. At its height. It was in the Infinity Saga. It was doing what it was supposed to do. And all of a sudden, you have DC coming out with these movies, and it felt like a competition. But you can't really compare the two. Like, obviously, you can be like, Iron Man's just like Batman. They're both rich, and they have gadgets and whatnot. But you can't compare the two because the tones are different. In the MCU, they, like, obviously have Thor, who is a god, and Loki, who is a god. But you have Zack Snyder setting up this universe as modern-day Olympians. So you have, like, modern-day Zeus, modern-day Poseidon, modern-day, like, Greek mythology heroes. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that they tried to compete, because you can't really compare the two. It's just like, you have to be that fan to be like, why not both? Because you can't look at the one and you can't look at one and then compare it to another. And it's one of those things where you just have to watch the movie completely disconnected from the MCU. So with that said, I want to get into a breakdown. I've been talking for 11 minutes. It's weird doing the podcast by myself, but Dave and Jeff haven't seen either of the movies, so I figured I would jump on and make a little review. So let's get into it. So we have the 2017 Justice League starting off with a montage of Superman, and he's saving people. It had this really cool, like, it was cool, but it wasn't. It was like found footage of somebody on their cell phone recording them, and then they finally show Superman's face, and I knew right then and there that this was gonna be a long 2 hours, because it pans up to Superman's face and you can see the horribly CGI'd removal of the mustache that he had contractually through Paramount for. He wasn't allowed to shave off his mustache, so instead of using the footage and just kind of twisting a little bit here and there, because he had 4 hours of footage, probably more knowing Zack Snyder, they decided to do reshoots, and it was absolutely horrible. You could see it looked like his lip was like a worm, and it turned when he turned his head and his lip didn't follow right away. Now, the opening of Zack Snyder's Justice League, the 4 hour opus of Snyder, was leaps and bounds. By the time I was about 8 minutes into this movie, I knew I was on for like an experience ride, like without that said. So like I'm not going to go shot for shot breakdown. I'm just going to talk about the differences, the main differences, and kind of give you my thoughts on the movie, which you can probably already tell it's pretty good. So, Zack Snyder's Justice League, 4 hours long. The movie feels like it's about 2 hours long. Now, with that said, it's got its issues. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's the best movie ever made, because it's not. It's, you have to suspend disbelief, and then you have to realize, like, I'm probably jaded because I did see the 2017 Justice League when it came out, and then I watched this one 4 or 5 years later, and I'm trying not to be biased. I'm trying to look at them very unbiased, very subjective, and trying to give like a faithful review of both of them. Now, there was parts of the 2017 Justice League, the Justin Weed League, or whatever their people are calling it. I don't know. It's a stupid name. So, this is precedence, first off. So we have a movie that already came out, and then you have a completely different movie with the same plot points and similar footage. This is like the first time that's ever done. It's on HBO Max. It's not in theaters, which I wish this was in theaters. I wish it was, because it is, it's an epic movie. You have an epic story of Ben Affleck's Batman trying to unite these group of heroes that are in their infancy, most of them. Like, you have Batman, who's been Batman for 20 plus years at this point, so he's tired, he's old, he's been through it, he's lost Robin, he's, who knows what else he has, because we never got that Ben Affleck solo movie that we were supposed to get because of the fallout from this. And then you have Wonder Woman, who's an established person in here, but then you have Flash and Cyborg, which was unbelievable in this, in the Snyder cut. They gave them so much more depth, and now I can see why Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg, was so ticked off when Justice League came out, because they murdered his character. He had such a deep story in the Snyder League thing. Like, out of all the characters, if I had to rate the characters that were in the movie, honestly, it would be Cyborg, Flash, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Batman are tied, and then you have Superman. Superman, just because, let's be honest, he's not in the movie for a very long time, because how Batman vs. Superman ended with Doomsday and him fighting and then Superman ultimately dying, that's how this movie picks up. Now, with the 2017, it just shows, like, this clip of Superman, and then you'll be like, oh my god, Superman's dead, and then they don't really go into how this can change how somebody of Superman's caliber and power dies. It sends a shockwave literally through the universe, because that's how this movie starts. You see him dying. He's got the wound in his chest from the Kryptonian spear that Batman made that he used against Doomsday. He got stabbed by it, killing Doomsday. And that's how this movie starts. You can see a literal shockwave of screams going out. And then we knew from the 2017 that the mother boxes played a role in this. And like, with the mother boxes coming together, it's a unity and it's a destroyer of worlds. And Darkseid was kind of involved. But like, in the 2017, they didn't even touch on Darkseid. They hinted towards him with Batman's nightmare sequence, which was different in this. So it was a completely different nightmare sequence, which I liked Snyder's better compared to the Josh Whedon one, because it felt rushed. It wasn't really explained why this would happen, compared to this is going to happen, this is Bruce's nightmare. But it just goes so much deeper in the Snyder cut. Now, with that said, the movie could have been 3.5 hours long if Snyder chilled on the slow-mo. Just saying that. Like, he loves his slow motion. But some of the scenes were absolutely crazy. Like, Flash with Iris West. And you can see Flash's personality coming up with that. And him going in there and saving Iris West. It's just one of those movies. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, it's such a different movie with the same plot. That's really what it comes down to. So, breaking down some of the stuff, like the Batman scene when he goes and searches out Arthur Curry, Aquaman, in the Snyder cut, you have the paintings behind, or in the 2017 version, you have paintings behind the wall, like old cave paintings, where it shows mother boxes, and he's like, I'll give you $15,000 to talk right now to talk to this man that comes and saves the village, or $30,000 if you tell me what those boxes mean. That wasn't in the Snyder cut at all. It was this exposition that was in the original one where they had to throw it in there, and it felt forced because they cut so much of the movie out. The character development in the Snyder cut was so deep, so much deeper than the 2017. The 2017 felt so rushed. This gave Snyder some room to breathe, and it gave these characters to develop so you can actually get a connection while you're watching this movie. You can see what Arthur's going through when he's trying to decide if he's going to help the Atlanteans, and as he's kind of changing course from this like anti-hero who's against helping, who's only out for himself. But then slowly, as Steppenwolf comes in, which I'll get to Steppenwolf in a second because he's the villain of the movie, he steps in and kind of throws a wrench into how he wants to live his life. And then you have Cyborg and his relationship with his father and feeling like a monster. He was supposed to be dead. His father brought him back to life. And we get the story of how the Mother Box fused with him to create life in him. And he's basically like a digital god in this movie compared to the 2017 version, where they did him dirty. He was barely in the movie. He had like a couple cool scenes where it kind of showed some of his abilities, but ultimately it just really showed how thin Whedon spread everybody throughout that movie. Flash was just the butt end of jokes, where this Flash had the same kind of jokes, but he was also integral to the story. Like you have a scene with him where when they go to revive Superman in the Snyder Cut, where it's the similar scene in the 2017 thing, but they don't show his ability, which would directly affect Flashpoint, where if he runs at the speed of light, he can alter time, which in the 2017, they just made him run fast and tap the cube, and then Superman came back, and it was this whole... It was just such a detriment to the DCEU back in 2017, because people were already losing faith in it, and they didn't have they rode the Marvel train throughout the whole thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm a huge MCU fan. I like Marvel movies better than DC movies. But now that I have Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, and Zack Snyder's Justice League, I can see where they were going with it. And if people were just patient, they could have done some amazing things. Now, there's some scenes in the Snyder Cut that are just beautiful scenes. Like the action. So there was a scene in the 2017 movie with Wonder Woman. There was a bank scene where she stops these terrorists or bank robbers. You really didn't know in the 2017 because it didn't go into depth. This one, they give it time to breathe. And it's a good 3 to 5 minutes longer where you see the terrorists come in and you see the calls for the demands and blah, 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 blah. And then you see Wonder Woman coming in and she's standing on... This was in the 2017 where she's standing on the symbol of justice, which is ironic because it's all about justice, Justice League. Yeah, we get it. It was very heavy-handed, but it was good. And then we see her use the lasso. They give us some exposition of... Yeah, we're a radical terrorist group and we want to see London burn and we want to send everybody back to the Dark Ages before X, Y, and Z. But the action and then Wonder Woman's theme, the score that was over it was just amazing. The action was great. It showed her on the level that I feel like Patty Jenkins, especially in Wonder Woman 84, didn't show her well enough. And it gave her a little bit more depth and it showed her that she could compete with somebody like Superman and power-wise. Now, Bruce Wayne in the movie was phenomenal. Ben Affleck, I think he's the best Bruce Wayne that we've gotten because it shows him as a older, more seasoned Bruce Wayne compared to like Christian Bale, who was Batman for 3 movies, and by the third movie he was tired, and just because Harvey Dent died and he took the blame for it, he went in remission, like all of that stuff. I really didn't like his arc, the finish of his arc, as much as I thought I would now going back and watching it all these years later. But with Ben Affleck, you could see that he's been through some stuff, and he's got the guilt of Superman letting him die and him and Batman basically contributing to the cause of it. But with all that said, this Batman shows sign of hope, where in the 2017 Justice League, it was very one note, and I could understand why people were like, yeah, this Batman sucks, Ben Affleck is terrible, he's just like, it's just, it's not the same. Like, they go so much deeper with the characters in this movie. Now, Steppenwolf, the villain. In the first one, he was just like a villain of the week kind of thing. They didn't give him any real backstory. They didn't show him anywhere. They didn't, he basically just showed up and he was getting the mother boxes for some reason. They alluded to the fact that Darkseid was involved, but in Snyder's cut, they give him more of a backstory. He was shunned by Darkseid. He's trying to get back in Darkseid's good graces. They give him, he takes the mantle of trying to accumulate the mother boxes, and he has parademons. They come down on the boom tube. Like, the way that they did it was phenomenal, where they made you actually feel for this character. And on top of it, the CGI that was in this and the effects that made him look the way that they did, it's a completely different look than the 2017 version. They gave the 2017 version more of a human face, and he wasn't as, like, built and bulky, and they didn't show much of his power. But, like, the first time you see Steppenwolf is against the Amazonians on Thymascara, and, man, like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is going to be a different Steppenwolf, which we already knew, like, leading up to it. We saw, like, Zack Snyder's been releasing pictures since the Snyder Cut hashtag start, release the Snyder Cut. It was, so, like, it started in May of 2020, where they did a Man of Steel watch party, and Snyder revealed that after years of speculation, whispers, rumors, that the Snyder Cut would finally be coming to HBO Max. And then we heard that it was going to be a two-part thing, it was going to be this, but the way that they did it was fantastic, because they split it up in chapters. And, like, back to Step, like, talking about Steppenwolf, it shows through those chapters his, he was the big bad of the movie, but there was a bigger bad that was at play, and it was setting up something down the road. Now, with that said, they did a fantastic job of retelling Steppenwolf's story, where you kind of sympathized with him because he's trying to get back into Darkseid's good graces by finding the mother boxes, and they find another situation where he's communicating with a different villain, and he's like, "Yep, you're not gonna get in his graces because you disrespected him beyond, and you owe him 50,000 worlds, not just one." And as the movie progresses, he continues to do it, and you could see the drive that's in him. Where in the 2017 version, he was just very much like a monster of the week kind of thing. Just trying to think, man. It was like, it's such a different movie. Like, the scenes even with, like, Lois Lane, where she's in her apartment and you can tell she's dealing with the grief of Superman being gone and her trying to manage that. And there's, like, this little side plot that she's possibly pregnant. There was a scene where, this is really cool. So, there's a scene where Superman's mother, Martha Kent, comes to Lois's apartment and has a conversation with her and tells her she needs to get back into the world of living and blah, 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 blah. She needs to go back to work. She hasn't worked since Clark died and all of this. And, man, it's such a smart move that they did this. So you're in there, and obviously you feel for her because Superman's dead. That was the love of her life. She's the key, as Flash said in Batman vs. Superman when he comes through the portal and talks to Bruce. So she leaves the apartment, right? And you can tell by the camera angle that something was up, and I'm like, oh, who was that? And then they show glowing red eyes, and you see her change from Martha Kent to the general, I can't remember, his General Smith, maybe. I can't remember his name in the movie for the life of me, as I always forget it. And then you see him turn into Martian Manhunter. So they were laying the seeds for Martian Manhunter being in this movie. And, like, it was just such a cool moment because you're like, because that's the first time on film that you've seen Martian Manhunter. It was absolutely incredible. Now, I'm like 2 days removed watching this movie, so I've had a lot of thought about it. I know I'm kind of rambling about it, but like just to kind of bring it into perspective. The 2017 Justice League was super fast-paced to its detriment. It was just a bad movie. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, the character development was one note. The CGI was one note. The jokes that Flash made were one note. Cyborg was criminally left out of the movie. Aquaman, he said "my man" I don't know how many times in that movie. And he said it once in the Snyder Cut, and it worked compared to there. So, like, the stuff that was in the movie that Joss Whedon used didn't work in that movie because it wasn't in context of Snyder's movie. Now, the final battle was incredible because this didn't happen in the Snyder Cut or in the 2017 version. So the final battle's happening. The plan is that Cyborg is going to sit there with, and he's going to connect to the merging unity, the three mother boxes, and Flash is going to come up and use as much electrical current and power that he can to try to defuse these boxes. Now, when I say that they actually gave me stress watching this, because it felt like there was a lot on the line, where the first, I don't even remember the end really of the 2017 Justice League, to put it in perspective. So you have Cyborg connecting to the three mother boxes as they're synchronizing, and you could feel the tension building. You have Batman fighting off parademons. Superman shows up, and him and Wonder Woman and Aquaman are fighting Steppenwolf, trying to pull him away. Steppenwolf is taunting Wonder Woman about how she wasn't there for the Amazons. And you have Superman just in the black suit, just being this brutal Superman that you expect from Zack Snyder's movie. And you have Flash just building up speed, trying to manipulate, get as much power as he can. And they get to the point where he's about to go to Cyborg, and he gets shot in the side by one of the parademons, and the unity merges. And at that point, right before that happens, you see a portal open, and you can see Darkseid and Apocalypse and the whole thing. And you can see Darkseid seeing this happen, and you're like, they're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. We're going to see what the unity does to a world, and Darkseid's going to take it over. And you're going to see it. And that's exactly what happens, is the unity finally merges with itself, and you can see the ripple effect happening. And as this is happening, Barry's like, I got to go. I have to run. I have to break my rule. And he's got to go faster than the speed of light. So he's doing that, and at that, he manipulates time, and it shows this cool effect of the unity wave rescinding, and like Superman's matter is coming back into play, and Cyborg's getting like put back together because that's coming back. And then it's just it gives it so much more weight than the 2017 movie. And then they get the unity separated. Superman helps Cyborg and pulls them apart, and then they finish off Steppenwolf, and I think Aquaman stabs him, Superman punches him a few times, and then Wonder Woman cuts his head off, and it goes through the portal and lands at Darkseid's foot, and he crushes his skull, and then the portal shuts, and he says to him, we're gonna, he says to his other henchman or whatever, I can't remember his name, and he says to him, we're going to, do this the old way. And then we're going to take Earth, basically. So they're setting up a sequel throughout the whole movie. And what we've came to find out that it was supposed to be a trilogy after the other two movies that were the Justice League trilogy. And there's some crazy stuff going on there. I haven't read through all the reported things, but it was like Lois Lane was going to have an affair with Superman, with Batman, and there's some craziness. I'm trying to get all this stuff in here, but it's like, I know I'm missing some things about this movie. So let me wrap this up with this. The nightmare scene, so the epilogue at the end of the movie is basically a 15 to 20 minute, maybe 25 minute setup of what's to come for the Justice League. So you have Cyborg going back to his father's apartment, or his apartment, and in the movie he had a tape recorder. He crushed it when his father was trying to have a heart-to-heart with him because he wouldn't communicate with his father. And then throughout the movie, his father dies trying to destroy the mother box, which we find out he's trying to have it have a heat signature so we could so they could track it while Steppenwolf was trying to take it. So he uses his abilities to repair the tape recorder and plays it, and they talk about... And he talks about how proud he is of Cyborg, because this is a voiceover that's happening through these scenes. So we see the Cyborg scene as he's dealing with that. And then we cut to the Flash scene where he's talking to his father in prison. And he's like, I got a real job in a crime lab. So it sets up Flash to do what the comics... what he does in the comics where he tries to exonerate his father, and then that causes a whole bunch of nightmare with Flashpoint. They show Diana going back to the Monument of the Amazons and her talking with walking with, and then another scene of her, Bruce, and Alfred walking into the old Wayne Manor, and he's like, yep, it's about 150 feet, blah 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 blah, and he's like, we should get a round table with six chairs, and then she's like, with room for more, and he's like, God willing. So he's already hoping that he can find more ability-based people to join this team. And then we cut to, which we find out is Arkham, and as we know in the end of Batman vs. Superman, we have Lex Luthor, who's in there, and we see the prisoners being like released for rec time or whatever it is. And the guards calling for Lex to come out of the cell. So he goes up to the cell, and then we get this like kind of unnerving scene of a Lex impersonator laughing like somebody, like the Joker would. And then it cuts to that scene at the end of, I believe it was at the end of Justice League, where you see Lex on the yacht and Deathstroke comes up, Wade Wilson, and Slade Wilson, excuse me. And you see him talking about something a little bit more in depth than the last one. He's like, we have something to celebrate, have some French fancy champagne, which I'm not going to repeat the name because I don't remember it. And... Wade, or Slade, I keep calling him Wade because Deadpool, they have almost the same name. Slade is like, I don't need to celebrate until I stop Batman, blah, 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 blah. And Lex is like, well, I have a fun fact for you. His name is Bruce Wayne. So we kind of get that story, which was going to lead into the single or the solo Batman movie that we were talking about, where it was basically going to be Deathstroke versus Bruce or Batman. Then we cut to the nightmare scene that was added after the fact. And man, this might have been one of my favorite parts of the entire movie. So it starts off with the same kind of nightmare landscape that was in Bruce's dream before. But we see Cyborg, we see Flash, we see Mera, from the Aquaman movie, and then we see Deathstroke, and then we get a cut and we hear the laugh of Jared Leto's Joker. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm a huge Joker fan. I didn't hate Jared Leto's Joker like everybody else did. I thought it was a all right kind of portrayal of him. Obviously, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker was 10 times better. But with that said, they redeemed some of the Suicide Squad's Joker with this. They have this whole conversation, and I wish I could have the transcript of it because I would read it word for word because it was fantastic. Basically, what they're saying is that the Joker's taunting Batman about the people close to him dying. He says, he said something to the effect of sending a boy wonder to do a man's job, and he says that he doesn't have the cojones to die himself instead of watching other people die. And then he pulls out a card and he's like, how about a truce, Bruce? And then he laughs, and we get this great scene, this interaction between the Ben Affleck Batman and his universe's Joker. And then there's this one scene where we find out that Harley Quinn died, probably by the hands of the Joker, and she said to Batman as he's holding her, when you kill the Joker, do it slowly and make him pay. And the Joker laughs at this, and basically they talk about how they have this truce and they need to work together to stop Superman, which is the next scene. And they say, Cyborg's like, he spotted us. And then when it cuts to Superman coming down, his eyes glowing red, and then Bruce wakes up into his house. So it was another nightmare dream of the proposed future, because at one point the Superman ship said to Cyborg, don't merge these two technologies together because it will cause catastrophic things. So it was kind of foreshadowing for what we would expect when Darkseid would come to Earth. So he would wake up, and this is how the movie ends, and it's really good. You see somebody flying in, and you're like, oh, Superman's coming to Batman's place. And then you see the person land, and it's Martian Manhunter, and again, and he's like, I've been watching, I've been waiting to contribute, basically, which is kind of weird. That's like one of the things I was like, why didn't they do it before? But it's cool how they tied who plays him in with Martian Manhunter. And Bruce is like, yep, you're in, this is great. And then he says, some call me Martian Manhunter at the end, and then he flies off. Fade to black, and it says For Autumn, which is Zack Snyder's daughter. Now, with that said, I know I did a lot of rambling. There's a lot going on in this movie. It's 4 hours long. If you haven't watched it yet, or if you haven't watched the 2017 Justice League, or if you've watched the 27 Justice League, you need to watch this movie. It's like, for lack of a better term, it's 4 hours long. It's broken up into six parts and an epilogue. So you can take breaks. Like, it's one single choice on HBO Plus, but you can pick different things. So, like, with that said, this is Zack Snyder's, like, opus. This might very well be the best movie Zack Snyder's ever done. Not at one point did I be like, oh my god, this is ridiculous. I did say, wow, that's a lot of slow motion. But in the long run, this movie was phenomenal. It was the Justice League movie that we were waiting for and hoping for when it got announced. And then when 2017 came, we watched the Josh Whedon version, and wow, we were disappointed. I know I was. But after watching this, it restored faith. And like, I've been hearing rumblings and rumors that they're going to bring Zack Snyder back to finish his trilogy. Man, I hope so. Because I like, this is a 4-hour movie, and I'm going to watch it like two more times at least this week. Like, I absolutely loved this movie. And anybody that's known me, you've listened to previous episodes of the podcast. I've bashed the DCEU with a barbed wire bat until it was lifeless. And this is a very redemptive moment for the DCEU, and it was just fantastic. It was honestly, like, outside of the DCEU, just as a standalone movie, it was great. Like, you didn't need to have any kind of, like, knowledge before, because they show you how Batman vs. Superman ends. There's enough exposition in the movie where you could just watch this by yourself and still understand what's going on. They introduce characters the right way. They develop characters the right way. The villain isn't a one-note villain. There's some depth to his character, and then they lead in with these other villains. Like, they did such a good job. And I know I've missed probably about 60% of the movie explaining this, but I'm 45 minutes into this podcast. You guys need to go out and watch this movie on HBO Go or Max. Oh my God, HBO Go. HBO Max. Like, it's worth the 4-hour thing. Take 2 days, watch up to part 4, take a break, then come back and watch the last 3 parts. And, like, it's just, it's phenomenal. Like, they did such a good job. Now, with that said, I'm going to wrap up. We do have... I'm recording this on Friday the 19th, that's the release date for Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 1, so we will have an episode on that first episode early next week. This will probably go up at some point tomorrow, I would assume. Like I said, I'm just excited that this movie finally came to fruition and I got to see it and all of us get to experience it. The internet won on this one. So with that said, my name is Matt. This has been the Mad Hatter Cast. You can follow us on Instagram at Mad Hatter Cast. We are on anchor.fm/Mad Hatter Cast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts are found. You can leave a message on the Anchor site or the app. So if you go into Anchor and find our podcast, again, it's Mad Hatter Cast, anchor.fm/Mad Hatter Cast. You can go on there and leave us a message. We'll play it on the podcast. We're excited to be doing these episodes weekly. We have a lot of content coming out. We have a lot of content. We're going to start a YouTube channel soon. So subscribe, leave reviews, let us know what you think. And again, thank you for joining into the Mad Hatter Cast. Goodbye.